If you have your Bibles, move with me, if you would, to a verse of Scripture, just one verse of Scripture, all the way to the end of your Bible, to Revelation. Go to Revelation chapter number 22, if you would. Revelation chapter number 22. If you're online, it's good to have you today, and I'm excited you're with us. I ask you to share the service right now, because I am going to give the ultimate invitation today, and I pray that as many people as can hear it, will hear it, and will choose Christ. Revelation chapter number 22 and verse number 17. Last week, I preached on the final judgment. And by the way, the final judgment is not for saved people. We'll be judged at the rapture. The final judgment is when every lost man, lost woman, lost young person will stand before God and give an account of the works that you've done in your body and whether your name was in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let me say, you won't be there if your name's in the Book of Life. So it's going to be obvious your name's not going to be there. But you're going to give an account for every idle word, every thought, every deed, everything you ever done. That's the final judgment. Today, I want you to look with me to Revelation 22 and verse 17. And we'll deal with another final thing. It's kind of a little short series. And the Bible said in verse 17, if you're there, say amen. I'll tell you what, let's all read this verse together. Can you do that with me? If you got your place, say amen. I want you all read with me, starting in verse 17. We're just going to read that verse. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is thirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. What a wonderful invitation. We've all had invitations in our lifetime. Invitations to weddings, invitations to party, invitations to go to the beach, invitations to go out to eat. I like that one. Invitations after invitations. In our church service, most of you know how this is going to work. Amen? We're pretty plain on how we're going to do. We're going to come up, and we're going to have some singing, music. And that music is not just for your entertainment. It is to get your heart ready for the Word of God. That's what music's for. It's to prep you, to get you ready for the Word of God. And then you're going to hear a message. And that message, hopefully, if the preacher's doing right, is going to be line upon line and precept on precept. And he's going to preach the Bible, not his opinion, not some afterthought. No, he's going to preach God's Word to you. But after all that is done, you are going to get a personal invitation from God. I'll be the one that gives it, but it's not me that's giving it. It's God that's giving it. I'm just a channel. And that invitation is to come and receive Christ as Savior, to receive eternal life, to go to heaven when you die, and have a wonderful life right now. How about that? Isn't that a wonderful invitation? That word come, that you notice that was said three times, is mentioned 678 times in the Bible. The first time that word come was mentioned, it was mentioned in Genesis 7:1. You know the story. God said, my spirit will not always strive with men. God said, I'm going to destroy this earth. And I'm going to do it by water. I'm going to send the flood. And the whole world's going to be destroyed. Amen. But by grace, Noah and his sons and their wives and his wife were saved. The eight were saved by the grace of God. Because it said Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The Bible said, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thine house into the ark. There's a lot of famous invitations in the Bible. Isaiah 1:18, you probably could quote it. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, I'll make them white as wool. I'm glad if you come to Christ, if you get saved by the grace of God, you'll receive forgiveness. Your old black sin, your old filthy sin will be done away with. Every sin that you committed will be washed in the blood of Christ. You'll be white as snow, white as wool. Hallelujah. God's imputed righteousness will be given to you. And I like that. Then another famous invitation. Come unto me, and maybe you're in this place. Oh, ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We're living in such turbulent times, such troublesome times. But I am glad today to tell you that I have a God with arms open, a God that cares and loves and doesn't want you to go to hell. He wants to lift your burden. He wants to give you grace that you've never experienced. That's what God's offering today. Now we come to the final invitation in the Bible. This invitation is in the book of Revelation. It is after we're told in chapter 1 to write down the things which are. That's the glorified Christ. Or the things that we see. And then the things which are. That's the church. And the things which shall be hereafter. This invitation is after we're told about a rapture. And by the way, thank God for the rapture. I believe I'm going to be in the rapture. That might happen right now. How many be glad it happened right now? I'd be happy. And then there'll be a tribulation period for 7 years. And then after the rapture and the tribulation, there's going to be a revelation on the second coming of Christ. The rapture is not the second coming of Christ. The rapture is when the mystery, the church, is raptured up. But the second coming is when we come up and mount up on white horses. And we come with Christ. And we'll rule and reign for a millennium, 1,000 years. And then God, glory. Then God on the final page, the final paragraph of the Bible, Chad, here's what God said. After all that, I'm going to give you one more chance. I'm going to invite you one last time. And may I say this? You don't know if this might not be your last time. Today, through the preaching of your pastor, it may be your last opportunity to receive Christ. I know this, if I knew that it was my last time or my final time, I'd be jumping up right now, getting up here at the altar and repenting of my sins and trusting Christ. But here's the devil saying, no, there'll be more times. See, his number one thing with you is not to tell you there's no God, and not to tell you that God doesn't love you, not to tell you there was no Christ. No, his number one thing is put it off a while. Just put it off a while. Let me say three things about this invitation, and I'll conclude. Very simple message. The Bible said, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And listen to this. And let him that heareth say, come. Number one, write this down. It is a special invitation. You'll never be invited to anything more special. Eternal life. Heaven as your home. Never to be touched by the fires of hell. We'll not go through the tribulation period. But we'll have grace enough to go every day for Christ. What a special invitation. Oh, you're going to hear a lot of young people. I look at a bunch of you right now. You're going to hear a lot of invitations. You're going to hear an invitation from the jug pusher. Take jugs, and I'll just wreck your life. And by the way, don't let anybody tell you in this room that taking drugs is right. It's wrong. Amen. Don't smoke your first joint. Don't ever touch that wicked stuff because it will wreck your life. Amen. Someone said, well, the devil said, well, I'm going to offer him alcohol. And right now we're living in a moment when just about everybody thinks they have to drink. But see, they haven't been at the end of cirrhosis. They haven't been, I remember a story of a young boy in this neighborhood. Got into his ice box of his daddy. Drank 8 beers. Got on his bike on Taze Valley Road. Was killed. Because his daddy brought alcohol into the house. And the boy had just emulated what his daddy was doing. And the end was destruction. Somebody help me preach. Hey, the devil's going to offer you entertainment and amusement. And just to pollute your mind and pervert your life. But God has a special invitation. He talks about the Spirit inviting you, the bride inviting you, and he that heareth inviting you. Can I just reverse them and preach it on them in reverse order? First of all, let him that heareth say, come. Well, who's that? That's me. That's the power of a personal testimony.
Yeah,
I want you to know, before I knew the Romans Road, and before I knew how to systematically to go through the scripture and tell somebody how to be saved, I just only knew one verse, Adley. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I took that one verse up in Pinch, at the area of Pinch, went into a neighborhood by myself, which I don't recommend, but I did it because I was challenged just to go anywhere. So I went into a house, and I'm going to tell you the story, the power of a personal testimony. I went into a neighborhood where there was a house, and they had 4 children, and a mom and dad, and they were poor as they could be. When I saw them, I knew they were hungry. And I did the honest thing. I don't recommend you do this. I said, can I come back in about an hour? They looked at me and said, you're already here. I said, I'll be back in an hour. I went up to Elkview, to Smith's. And I didn't have no money back then. But I just bought 3 bags of groceries. I just thought, well, they got 4 kids, so I got about 25 candy bars. And got a bunch of food. Took those 3 baskets of food, put them in there, and their eyes lit up. And they said, how can we repay you? I said, Would you just listen to my personal testimony? And I just told him, I said, I was raised by a bartender. My daddy served the bar. Actually, I went from the bar to the banqueting room. And I don't know all about it. All I know is I was a wicked sinner. And I asked Christ to save me. And I will tell you, it's real. And I want you to know it's real. And then I looked over to Mom and she was crying. I said, would you like to receive Christ? I don't know all about it. All I did was repent of my sins and ask Him to save me. You could do it. And she prayed a prayer. Then Daddy prayed a prayer. And those four little children prayed a prayer. You said, were they under the age of accountability? I have no clue. All I know is they trusted Christ. And I want you to know, every one of you, hey, there's one thing cannot be taken away from you. You have a personal testimony. And there is a power in a personal testimony. People will relate to a testimony from you. Amen. You say, who told you go do that? Bill, you know who he is. His name was Herman Haynes. I went down in the air just close to the church. Then it says, let the bride say, comes. We see the power of a personal testimony. But then I see a power of a plural testimony. Well, who is the bride? Now, I'm going to say this. Some of my Baptist friends are going to get mad right now. And I really don't care. They teach a Baptist bride. I'm not a Baptist brider. Hello. Amen. I don't think Baptists are the only ones going to heaven. I really believe some of them aren't. But I'll tell you who the bride is. The bride is every person that has been born again and baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. Yes, you ought to be a member of a local church, and you ought to be a Baptist. But I want you to know, there's power. This church right here, you have power. You are part of the bride of Christ. That's why it says back there on the wall, you are now entering the mission field. God has given the church the great commission to go out and preach the gospel. There's just power in that. You know, there's power. Now, I'm not going to tell you that when we go door to door out here, that everybody is going to say, oh, I'm glad Tay Sally came by this week. Not going to happen. But I do want you to know, there are people that are paying attention to this church and our witness. Amen. And I want you to know, most of the people that get problems in this community, you know, oh, yeah, they'll badmouth us every once in a while. And we all got our enemies. But I want you all to know where they go to if they need food. I want you all to know where they go to. They don't go across the road. They don't go down the road. They've been told, Tate Valley Baptist Church loves people. And they'll try to help you. And try to bless you. Amen. And that's a great testimony. The testimony of the church inviting people to Christ. By the way, we all need to get us a handful of tracts. Go out and tell people about Christ. What a special testimony. Then, let the Spirit say, come. That's a powerful testimony. You can't listen to me carefully. You cannot be saved without the working and power of the Holy Spirit of God. Some of these people, they'll go out in their soul winning effort and they have good intentions. And they'll just go to somebody and, you know, Allie, do you believe in God? Well, sure, you probably do. Write it down, you're saved. Do you believe in God? Say this 1, 2, 3 prayer.
Yeah.
I want you to know it's more than that. That may convince somebody to so you can have a little notch in your belt, but the only thing that will get them out of the pew, only thing that will change their life, is the sweet Holy Ghost convicting them. And what a special invitation that God the Holy Ghost would invite you to be saved.
Amen.
Am I preaching? By the way, he convicts, first of all, the sinner of his sin. Amen. By the way, he'll reprove the world of sin. By the way, you'll never be saved until you know you're a sinner. You're a filthy, rotten sinner. Your righteousness is as filthy rags. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And then he convinces men of righteousness. Here's what he says. You don't have any righteousness. Because here's what happened. Christ died on Calvary. And you can have his righteousness in your place. And here's what he'll do. He'll impute his righteousness. Your sin will be laid on him. And now upon your repentance, he will impute his righteousness upon you. And you'll be what they call justified or declared righteous through the blood of Christ. My preacher. And then he also, lastly, controls Satan and his followers. He said he reproves of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Listen carefully. The devil, his angels are going to hell. Let me say it again. The devil and his angels are going to hell. And everyone that follows him. And here's the thing about it. If you go to hell, you will go there as an intruder. You'll go there over this message. Over God's final invitation. Over the Holy Spirit knocking on your heart's door. Over the blood of Calvary, you'll die and go to hell, and you'll be an intruder there. Because it wasn't made for you. Am I preaching? Number two, let me move quickly. Not only is it a special invitation, but look at this carefully, Chad. It's a sensible invitation. Sensible. Invitation. Are y'all there? Let him that is the first come. And let whosoever will, let him come. Now, why is it sensible? First of all, you're a sinner. For the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. The Bible said in Romans 3:23, all have sinned. And come short of the glory of God. You disobeyed God's law. Judgment is hanging over your head. Here's another verse. Mine iniquities are going over my head as a heavy burden. They are heavy for me. I want you to know something. If I got a burden on me, a heavy burden, I tell you what I want it off of me. Now, it doesn't make sense to me, I'm going to talk to y'all first, that anybody in this room, you're burdened down with sin, and you're burdened with guilt, and you're burdened by your past, that you would sit back there and just go unburdened. And just go ahead and carry it all the way to hell. That just doesn't make sense. The most sensible thing is to trust Christ. Let me talk to you. There may be some of you right here. You're lost in this section. And you're burdened with it. You've got guilt. You know you do. You got things in your closet you're ashamed of. Skeletons. And by the way, psychiatrists say, and psychologists, the number one problem in America and why people go to them so often is guilt. Why would you? It's so unsensible. Young people, it's so unsensible to be carrying all that guilt and bearing all that burden when all you need to do is trust Christ. And the burdens are lifted. How many of you know what I'm talking about? The burden was lifted at Calvary.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just sensible to me that you ought to receive Christ as Savior. Then said, let him that is athirst come. By the way, knowing you're thirsty, you'll come to the water. I remember going deer hunting with Steve Cook out in Sycamore. And Steve remembers this because I had a vagal attack right on Sycamore Mountain. Remember, Steve? 30-odd six laying right beside my head, passed out. When I woke up, Bill, I was sweating all over. And Jack, I was wanting one thing and one thing bad. Water. I was so thirsty. And what I done was I ran to the nearest spring and ducked my head into that nearest spring and drank that water. You said, what if it would have been polluted? I just don't care. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a water of life this morning. The Samaritan woman, I left a water pot for the well. And you get a water that you'll never thirst again. I got something when I got saved. I'm not thirsty anymore. The devil give you substitutes. He'll try to get you to be engaged in entertainment instead of enjoyment. Do you need peace? Oh, he'll give you pleasure. But my Bible says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. Amen. Then lastly, look at verse 17. I'm done. What we said so far. This invitation is special. Really. It's sensible. Why would I go ahead with the burden of sin and die and go to hell when the most sensible thing is receive the gift of Christ and he'll save me? Lastly, it's simple. Amen. Amen? Look at chapter 22, verse 17. Lastly, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. By the way, I'm glad I'm a whosoever will.
Amen.
Whosoever will, let him come. Let me give you that word come. Can I do an acrostic for you? Here it is. C, let the children come. By the way, you'd be better off getting a millstone around your neck instead of hindering a child. O, let the older people come. M, let the middle-aged people come. E, let everybody come. See, it's not, the problem's not that God won't save you. The Bible says you will not come to have life. Hey, it's God's will to save you. He's not willing that any should perish. Now, let me give you this, and I'm closing. It's really a question. Your decision is a threefold decision. Did y'all know that? Here it is. Let me give it to you. I'm done. It's a mental decision. It's an emotional decision. And it's a volitional decision. For example, I am going to go down to the ice cream parlor. And I'm going to order a banana split. And then I am going to eat every bite of it. I mentally thought about it. I emotionally dreamed about it. But I didn't get it till I went and purchased it. Do you need Jesus? And you know He died? That's one third of the way there. Would you like to know Him at some point? You're two thirds of the way there. But you'll never make it there until you foolishly come forward and receive Christ. Now, I don't want to ruin the message, but I'm going to tell you a story. I'm a Yankee fan. Oh, no booze. I am a Yankee fan. I have been a Yankee fan since I was 2 years old, when my daddy put me in a Yankee ball team outfit. My two favorite Yankees was Mickey Mantle and Ty Cobb. I love Ty Cobb, and I think Ty Cobb was once a Yankee. If I'm wrong, y'all let me know. But I love those two players. Mickey Mantle was an alcoholic. Did y'all know that? He had a real problem. He was led, you know who led him to the Lord? His shortstop or second baseman, I'm not sure which one, Bobby Richardson. And Bobby Richardson was the one that led him to Christ on his deathbed. And he told Bobby he was saved and he could preach to them that Christ saved him. But then there's the story of Ty Cobb. It's an interesting story if you read about his life. Ty Cobb played 3,033 ball games. He had a batting average of 367 lifetime. He came to his deathbed and a preacher came and wanted him to get saved on his deathbed. And here's what Ty Cobb said to the preacher. Are you telling me that a lifetime of sin can be done away with a deathbed repentance? The preacher said, no, I'm not telling you that a deathbed repentance can do away with a lifetime of sin. He said, but I am telling you that the blood of Jesus Christ can do away with a lifetime of sin. And he said, tell them, when you do my funeral, tell them I am sorry that I waited till the bottom of the knife when I wish I'd have came at the top of the first. Don't you take a chance to wait till the bottom of the knife. You need to get him now. Wow. And by the way, he's inviting you. It's special. It's sensible. And it's simple. Now you volitionally need to get up out of your seat, come up and repent and trust Christ. Stand with me. Heads bowed, Lois, thank you. I want to ask you a question. How many this morning say, Preacher Smith, I know that I'm saved because I did receive Christ as my Savior. Would you raise your hand? Hold them high. Testify, please. Thank you. How many in this room would admit that you've never been saved? But mentally, you want to be saved. And you plan on being saved. And you're here today and you're lost. How many would say, Preacher Smith, will you just pray for me? Slip up your hand. If you're not saved, just slip your hand up and say, pray for me. Last week, a young lady raised her hand and came running to me before I got out of church and got saved. This may be your last invitation. Would you just slip your hand up and say, pray for me? I'm not sure what I'm saying. Slip it up. Our Father, thank you for the Word of God. I pray, God, there'll be somebody that would take the final invitation and receive you as Savior. And we'll praise you and honor you in Jesus' name.